بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حديث says شيبتني هود, سورة هود has made me old. So the ulama want to know now what is in Surah Hud that has made Rasulullah Sallallahu grow old. So some say it's about the various ummahs and what brought about their destruction, starting from people of Nuh alayhi salam, then Hud, then Salih, then Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, then Shuaib alayhi salam, then ending up with Musa alayhi salam. So the destruction that came upon them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overwhelmed with this. But others say that it is this verse, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. This is the verse that made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam old. So, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. So what is in this verse that brought about that old age to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So فَاسْتَقِمْ simply means remain straight. Istiqamat, iskandar istiqamat is straight. So as for a Nabi, then the Nabi is straight from birth. There is, na'uzu billah, no crookedness in a Nabi from the beginning right to the end. There's no crookedness. You can't even think of a Nabi being crooked. And this is before prophethood and nubuwwat. And right till the end, he remained absolutely straight. Then, the Imam of all the Anbiya, then how much more he will be? He is the Imam of all the Anbiya, so he's absolutely straight. But then, وَمَنْ تَعْبَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَدْهُمْ, as well as those that are with you, they are turning to the right, and they are with you, then get them also to be straight. So now that was the greater concern of Rasulullah Parsim that brought about the old age, that a Nabi is secure, divinely he is protected. But what's going to happen to the Ummah? Because when you say straight, then straight in all respects. You see a pillar, right, a column, it's lifeless, it's got no life, it's got no emotions, no sentiments, no feelings, nothing affects it, right? The cold, the heat, emotions, trouble, agony, so nothing troubles it. So for that thing to remain straight, it's easy. But now, a person has got life, he's affected with feelings, temptations, agony, grief, surroundings, circumstance, environment, friends, peer pressure. He's got all these things around him, and with all that he's been told to remain absolutely straight. Is it easy for the normal person to remain straight? And then remain straight, not only in one department of deen. Straight, it means straight from all sides, like a column has got, sometimes got four sides, right? From all sides you need to be straight. See, now the column is straight from one side, but is not right from the other end. Then is it right? So if it's straight, it may be straight and balanced from all sides. Your deen needs to be straight and balanced from all sides. Then now, you are about five departments, five sides to deen, and all those five sides need to be straight. So obviously everything revolves around aqaid, the beliefs. If the belief is right, then everything goes well. or if the belief is not right, then nothing can stand. Imagine an edifice or a building standing on one central column. If that thing goes, can anything remain? The thing goes and everything goes. If it's standing on a single column, so if that thing goes, the whole thing goes. So that's your aqid and your belief. So in your beliefs you need to be absolutely straight, not inclined to one direction, not to the other. So there were several people that went off just in the belief. Some they totally disregarded the Anbiya alayhi salam. Yaqtulun al-Anbiya. They assassinated the Anbiya. Now the question is this, that this assassination of Anbiya alayhi salam was done by a certain group, right? But Allah Ta'ala is also holding the present Jew responsible for that. Whereas it was the forefathers that did this, and Allah Ta'ala is also holding them answerable for this. So why are they being answerable for the sins of their forefathers? Because they showed no aversion, no dislike. They held their forefathers in great esteem and respect in spite of the wrong that they did. So in wrong you understand that you cannot say that I'm neutral, I'm silent, so I'm not answerable. So you have to show some level of aversion. Now they didn't show any aversion. So Allah Ta'ala, when He's speaking about these people in disgust, then He's including these Jews of the present day. So He's including them because they did not show any type of dissociation to their fathers, any type of aversion, dissociation, any type of disgust. They didn't show it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْقِسْطِ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these people here, that you are also an accomplice, you are a party to this. So one party went off completely because they shot down the Anbiya alayhim salam, disgraced them, debased them, insulted them, did everything. So when Allah Ta'ala speaks about these things in the pages of the Quran Sharif, and He's addressing us, He's telling us indirectly that these people's, the reason for their failure and collapsing was this. This was the reason for their collapsing. So you don't become a party to this. They failed and they collapsed because of this reason. So you don't become an accomplice. See how Allah Ta'ala is explaining us. So in life, for the life to go well, right? So you need sight in real life, you need vision, and you need a smooth road. If you got a vision is right, and the road is right, then the journey is enjoyable, right? Sight is right, the road is right. Isn't the journey right? So some people are blessed with both. They see right and the road is easy, they're moving. When the sight is right and the road is right, they're moving and they're coming onto the shore of safety with ease, with pleasure. It's an enjoyable ride. And Allah says, لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. It's an enjoyable journey. Right from the beginning to the end, لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. You're going smoothly. Right? So that were the Anbiya alayhi salam, and then those that followed the Anbiya alayhi salam, and they're moving smoothly, enjoying the journey, and they have reached. And those that had followed the Anbiya alayhi salam, same thing happened to them. They enjoyed the journey and they moved on and they reached with safety. So Allah Ta'ala had opened the sight and he had opened the way. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُنَا. See that. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. He showed them. That means the sight was right. And the subul was also right. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The sight was right. The subul was right. And they reached. And they reached. Enjoyable. Right to the end. They're joined. In the beginning, perhaps some trials. But then, as they progress, every coming day is a new experience. It's a new joy. As Bilal radiallahu anhu is in the throes of death, and his wife is weeping and grieving, and he says, "Ghadan nalqal ahibba." Wow, we are waiting for the day. I'm going to go just now, and I'm waiting. I can see Rasulullah SAW, the Sahaba Ikram, all are waiting for me. So I'm waiting, I'm anxious. So Allah Ta'ala makes that happen as well, like as though they are just on the other side of the bridge. You know, in the old days, if the train is passing, then they put a gate, saw that boom gate, now stop. So now you can see that you have the boom gate, and that boom gate is just going to open up now. So how anxious aren't you to cross over? So as though you can see on the other side, it's just a gate that's in between. And the person that is controlling the gate, he will just move the gate and you can move. So how anxious don't you become at that time? So Allah Ta'ala shows you that. And when He shows you that, then the world, then you can see reality. They see it, but others see it at that point that this was nothing beyond the wing of a mosquito. Until then it showed, it was looking too rosy. Until that point it seemed to be too rosy. The glitter, the glamour, the beauty, right? The fun, the excitement, the entertainment, the friends, the fame, the name. So all that was sounding too exciting. But at that point, all this fame, name, glitter, excitement, entertainment, whether it is the bugs or whether the tables, then Allah turns the tables around. What you thought about the tables, then Allah turned it around and you saw it was a kachra, nothing. But now, for most people it is at that point, but for the Ahlullah, you can see it long in advance. Okay, this was nothing but just that mosquito's net, that mosquito's, not net also, mosquito's wing, you know, after that wing. And if billions of people after the wing, how much each one gets? Imagine now, it's just a wing of a mosquito, and everybody's running, hey, I must get it, I must get it. Nowadays, you know, sometimes I don't know whether to laugh, or whether to cry and grieve. So, I mean, so many people come now, sometimes it's pious people, learned people. We must invest, we must invest. Now, try to look at it in perspective, right? In that famous hadith of Abu Ayyub Ansari, and that verse was revealed, لَا تُرْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Just think about it carefully. Where is the prosperity of this ummah? Is it in more and more investments, or is it in the strife for deen? If you look at the shan and nuzul, the reason for the revelation, then the struggle for deen, that is your survival, that is your future, that is your prosperity. And then an abundance, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. That filth and purity can't be the same, even though the abundance of filth may impress you. But both are not identical. Hey, gaga manil ya, you turn over there, waste your time, Mona, you don't know what you'll get out of this. So that becomes, you hear of it, you listen to it, you discuss it, walima time you hear it, party time you're talking about it, friends are meeting up, that's the discussion. So when that became the discussion, that became the reality. And when there isn't that muzakara of the akhirat, then the akhirat came as a side issue, just by the way. Akhirat is just a side issue, it's just by the way. Right. And I showed you just now that one group deviated from the truth because of them dishonoring their religious leaders, the religious seniors. Leader means who is straight. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Right. Leader doesn't mean any person and every person. Right. It doesn't mean, doesn't refer any person and every person. No. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَعْبُ مَعَكَ. So there is one group of people, وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا. They are running behind just the comforts and luxury. See, the zalims, Allah is talking. So what is the main goal? Their goal is the comforts, the luxuries. That is the main concern. So come what may, mourning concern about luxury, comforts, investments, money, wealth, excitement, entertainment, that's the whole dream. So Allah is saying, وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُطْرِفُوا. They just follow. What they ran after? They ran after the comforts and luxury. Where can I get my material security? That became the primary concern. And then they encouraged others as well. Hey, you're reaching time. No. See, this thing is going for a song. What's wrong with you? So one group of people just went after that. Now, unfortunately, you get those leftovers, this remnant that come this side also to ask where to invest this one here. See, Allah created different plans for different folks. Now, we seeing the plan that Allah has got in store for the kafir, he could do it, right, and become Mr. Price. He could do it and become Mr. Pick and Win, right, or Mr. Pick and Pay, right? So we feel now, he could do it, why can't I do it? So Allah Pak has got different plans for different folks. For the kafirs, he's got one plan. Man kana yuridu harsa dunya, nu'tihi minha. We give it to him. Right? We give it to him, in this very world, we give it to him. But, give it to him, ma nasha, and, من نشاء لمن نريد. How much we want and who we want. But how much we want, everybody doesn't become Mr. Price. لمن نشاء, only who we want and how much we want. But now, we in our naivety feel now, Mr. Price, so he could get so much, why can't I get it? Why can't I get it? Then this whole world, that life, business, just becomes like a gamble. And he got it, I must chase. So from 1,000 people that are chasing, one person comes right. And he came right, I can get it right as well. So the whole life is just chase. And then you can't come out of this. This whole circle becomes a circus, and you can't get out of it. So one group went off like this. See, that starting point was here. We smashed down the dini leader. And I say, every person is not a leader. The one that has smashed down the dunya, that is the leader. So the dunya doesn't have a significant, it's not significant. Iza azumat ummati ad-dunya zalat anha haybatul akhirat. This dunya becomes an important thing. And the akhirat is by the way. So when the akhirat is by the way, and can you, when the akhirat is not a significant thing in your life, can you talk about it? So that person can talk about it, for whom the dunya is just a scrap. He can talk about it. But who holds it in esteem and significance, can he talk about it? And if he does talk about it, will it have an effect? Think to yourself, if he does talk about it, will it have an effect? So you get a second group also, they failed in their belief. That was the Christian, the modern day Christian, and to some extent even the Muslims. So they went off in their belief. How they went off? They went to thinking that the akhirat is just a spiritual experience. So I am sure about this. I know when I was in Dioban 76 somewhere. So one person came from Cape Town, right? Seemed like a sheikh or whatever. So his opening line was, the akhirat is just a spiritual experience. That was the opening line. So when asked him, what do you mean by spiritual experience? You know, when you do good, then you feel good. Mentally you feel nice. And if you don't do good, then mentally you feel miserable. So what is it then? Then it means that akhirat is just an illusion. It's an imagination. It's just a feeling that you go through. You did good, so you felt good. And we are saying, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَيَّ الْحَيَانَ. That's real life. This is just play and amusement. It's just a pastime. And that's real life. Now, how they turned it around. So therefore, when they smashed down the akhirat, so you're not concerned now. The akhirat is just a mental state that you go through. Some good, you will feel good. And you did wrong, so you'll feel miserable. That's the end of it. And you want to feel good, just take something and you'll feel good. It'll make you feel good for the day. You want someone to take a double dose, you'll feel better. And they could take a triple dose, you'll feel even better. So you can't get it artificially. So why run after this thing? See how they went off. That's the Christian that he went off. So in your beliefs you need to be right. وَمَنْ تَعْبَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَدْرُونَ. Then in your deeds you need to be right. You got your beliefs right, but your deeds are not right. Then also you're off. Your understanding, you see, your vision needs to be right. And the road needs to be right. But if Allah Ta'ala blocks the vision, then the wrong seems to be right. Then when the wrong seems to be the right, then you need to, you have two things happening. One is you will appease yourself. In making the wrong seem to be right, you will appease yourself somehow, and you will justify your stance. See, you will appease yourself, and you will justify your stance. Right? Now just imagine, there are 8 or 10 million Syrians that have become homeless. Right? They became homeless, no homes. The so-called Muslim countries tomorrow take them, don't receive them. Right? Is it a fact or not a fact? Then their own brothers don't want to take them. But the same brothers are prepared to spend $220 billion to host all the enemies. إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانُوا لَكُمْ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. Allah is saying, that's your enemy. But to host your enemy, you can spend $220 billion. Is it a fact or not? Your own brothers are homeless, they're dying, they're drowning in the heat or in the cold, they're dying, nothing for themselves they want. But it's alright, you can carry on, can die, everything can happen. We got a name, you know, we started with the Qirat here. And see how they got impressed with Islam. 500 mamas that came there, they got impressed. So those mamas, you gave them a place, you kept them in your arms, impressed them, and your brothers, you displaced them. You threw them out, concerned about your own brothers. I say, is the understanding right? For Allah Ta'ala has blocked the intelligence, see that. When the reasoning went off, this is the result. Even if the quarter of that amount, if they had given it to the Muslim brothers that were suffering, not in other lands, in their own lands, and look at the poverty, homelessness, look at all these things, how they're living. Pitiful how they're living. But no, there's no concern. No. You go for that, then you'll have a free umrah again, right? You see that? So the whole focus, where's the focus? But you see, when Allah blocks the intelligence, that's what happens. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah has locked the hearts. When you lock the hearts, then it's a dangerous thing. Then the wrong will seem to be right. The wrong will have an appeal. And then the public also mesmerized into thinking what they're doing is right. But then you think to yourself, if it was you and your brother left you out like that, he's inviting all the enemies, all your enemies he's inviting, giving them all your time, and you threw you out, you can die, it's all right. How do you feel at that time? It was your father, your mother, your son, and he was thrown out, and enemies were kept in like that. How do you feel at that time? I ask you, isn't it a sign that Allah Ta'ala has blocked the understanding of reason? See how that, when the reasoning goes on. In the past it used to be such that even the kuffar had some understanding and values. They had some values. And because of the values, they went right. What I was showing me 2 days ago, Hayat al-Sahaba, there's a story of Yazd-Dajjal. He's the ruler of Persia. Persia in Umar al-Yan's time, right? Now it's called Iran, all the names have changed. So he's the ruler. So he is apprehending the army of Umar Radiyallahu Anhu coming in. And you can see now, they're just coming in a place and they're just marching over. They're coming into a territory and they're marching over. So when he's seeing this, an army is coming, Umar Radiyallahu Anhu's armies are coming and they're just marching over. So he's worried, he's concerned that today it was his turn, tomorrow my turn, and I'll be mown down, I'll be just a number after that. So what's going to happen to me? So he wrote up to China, telling them, you know, reinforcement, can you help me? See, this Chinese imports from that zaman. Because they import their armies. So the Chinese, I guess, the rulers in that zaman, I understand, they had some value, they had some reasoning, understanding, they could analyze. That was the rulers of the past. So he asked about 2 or 3 questions. One of the questions he asked, what are their dealings like? Their promises, their pledges, their contracts. You know? So it's when you say contracts, it covers a whole wide spectrum of things, contracts, dealings, promises. You know, how do they go on in their contracts, in their dealings, in their pledges, in their promises? How do they work? It's immaculate. You can't point a finger against them. They're too honest. They're too honest to the word. You won't find a discrepancy in them. Absolutely clear. Now, when I say contracts, it covers a wide spectrum. A whole lot of things. I made a promise, I will honor the promise. Contract, I will honor the contract. It's a working relationship, whether it's a boss or the worker, I'm honoring it. Whichever side I am of the table, whether I'm the worker or I'm the boss, but I'm honoring it. If it's a marriage, then it's also a contract. It's a contract that you've entered into. So are you fair in that? Are you honest in that as well? So the level of the honesty of the Sahaba Ikram was at a different level. The wife would go on to Rasulullah and complain about the husband that he's like this. My husband, he doesn't get up for Fajr Namaz. And the husband is not raising a brow. And today, hey, this was a home secret, it's amanat. And you were a diverse amanat. What's that for my reputation now? You have no regards for me. What do you think? I'm a kashray. Can you see the diversity? Now their level of honesty was a different level. The wife of Safwan could say straight, and Safwan is not, he is not raising a brow. It's alright. It's a contract. Here everything is ironed out. It's better than postponing it for the hereafter. Let it be ironed out here. We can't carry it forward, that side. If I'm wrong, I must be corrected. And she is wrong, then she must be corrected. But let it be. So she's got the right. So that is because إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. The whole life comes right when you got a consciousness of the hereafter. Then the life goes right. But if there's no consciousness, or the consciousness is just a casual thing, small thing, then life can't go right. No matter who you are and what you are, no matter what is the level of understanding, nothing can work out. Because the akhirah is just a casual thing, one of those things may happen, may not happen, Allah will see us right. So you took it very lightly. When you took it very lightly, then everything went wrong. You do believe that Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, but if someone is failing in your duties and your obligations that he owes towards you, what happens to you? He's supposed to come on that Sunday, it was maybe a very busy day, he's supposed to be there at 6 o'clock, and he only pulls in 12 o'clock, broad smile, and got his hands in his pockets. How are you running? Is that on? I say, is it on? So that is the relationship we have got to the hereafter. That's the reason, so casual you come. So these lessons are for those who's got a consciousness of the hereafter. لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسِ. Why? Because that is the day when all mankind will be assembled in one plane. That means when all mankind will be assembled, you are there, your children are there, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, father, grandfather, brothers, sisters, siblings, right? In-laws, outlaws, son-in-laws, father-in-laws, everybody is there. Daughter-in-law, everybody. And Hazrat is made to stand, right? Stand up. فَعَلْتَ كَذَا فِي يَوْمِ كَذَا مَعَ كَذَا فِي وَقْتِ كَذَا. You did this with this person at this time, at this place. Are you seeing it like a videotape? Can you deny it? Can you deny? Can't deny anything. Now if that qiyamah, that hereafter is so vivid, is so graphic before you, can you do a wrong? You're doing the wrong because you don't recognize the saz. But if you recognize the saz, then you would have been in maz. Isn't it? You didn't recognize them, so you're taking a chance, right? But you know the power, the might of SARS. When you know the power of SARS, then if someone tells you, just tells you about Isha time, you know, I think the SARS are after you. Can you sleep for the whole night? Just a doubt. I think so. I'm not sure about it. I need to just make some homework, but I think they're after you. Huh? Can you sleep for that night? Can you sleep for that week? Can you eat properly? Can you enjoy the bride? Nothing works out. So this is just human, right? Worldly, material, right? You can still bypass it. Right? Nothing influences. Allah Pak, nothing influences you. But friends, la tanfa'u shafa'atu wa la yunsar, no contacts, nothing influences you. So that concern that we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not it. If it's there, it's just very mild. ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسِ وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ. That is the day of testimony. And that thing, you understand the worthlessness of life from this world, you understand it. Imagine your corpse is lying here, right? And they throw heaps of gold, diamonds, everything. I ask you, is it of any worth? Heaps of gold, dollars, diamonds, name it, and it's all the heaps around you, the whole room. Your janaza is there, and everything is there. Ask you, it's got any worth? So from that point you understand it's got no worth. It is just to soothe your eyes. So you see, now you will appease that wrong, you will appease yourself. No, you got the qiraat and all that, man. And you know that 500 mamas, they like Islam, you know. It's only for that few weeks, and after that, khalas, in the story. So you're soothing your eyes, and you're justifying your stance. See, no, Islam also encourages some martial arts and being strong and all that. You justify yourself. So that is when Allah Ta'ala blocks the sight. When He blocks the sight, there's no access, you can't see it. The wrong you will see right. And then you need to appease yourself all the time. I ask you, think for yourself, right? You have just one day to live. One day to live. Will you want to be in a sports stadium with all the haram going, music is blasting this side, everything is happening, dressed well, not dressed well, all this is happening. Well, you want to be there at the time of day. So why won't you? If you say, no, it's me, this so much, then why don't you want to be there at the day of your janazah? Why? That means there's something wrong. There's something hurting you. There's something that is disturbing you. You know, the death is such a thing, it's about the most uncertain thing that you can think of. It is most certain, but the time is most uncertain. Now that last week, Ayub Karim, his brother passed away, Gora, right? So I know another person, what is about 40, 50 years, I forget, right? So the family was telling me, one of the nephews telling me, that he's moved on to Johannesburg, and he came for a holiday. So he was in Mshlanga, and then about 11 o'clock or something, reading a newspaper or something, and then he just asked his wife for some water or something to drink. So she brought, and he took it, and she went to do something. And as she came back, she saw the glass fallen down, and he's gone, khalas. Man is normal, fit, sane, everything is right. But you see how uncertain is life. So that person who relates to the hereafter, his works are right. Everything is in order. But he doesn't relate to the hereafter, then everything is in a mess. So to the extent that you relate to the hereafter, consciousness, then I say this repeatedly, that you, when you think about life, life and its enjoyment is about access, accessibility, right? For access for food, health, running, sports, entertainment, friends, right? So that's life. But if every type of access is blocked off, is there any life? You are blocked off of every type of access. Is there any life? So that's the grave. And you see, everything is blocked off from you. Now think of those moments when you'll be all alone. Every type of accessibility is blocked off from you. No friends, no food, no entertainment, absolutely nothing. That time, what will honor you with accessibility? What will give it to you? You want something there, so what will bring you that? Think about it. So you can talk about a whole host of things, but you don't have this understanding of the hereafter, then nothing is right. And to the extent that hereafter is deeply rooted, that everything is right. So we're talking about that, yes, Dajjal. I said, even these kafirs, they had some understanding, they had some truth, they had some honesty in them. Look at the questioning and the answers, Hercules, Herakles, right? The question and the answer he's asking. He's acknowledging. The question is asking, did you see him speaking a lie? Never seen him. So Hercules is saying, then how can it be ever possible that he doesn't speak lies to people, doesn't attribute lies to people? How can he ever attribute a lie to Allah Ta'ala? It's impossible. When people is so honest, then how can he ever be dishonest with Allah Ta'ala? See the observation. He acknowledged. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا. Although at the end he says, no man, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to lose everything. The fame is going to go, the name is going to go, the money is going to go, the strength, the might, everything is going to go. So he had to separate at that point. Everything, I'll lose out everything. But yet, before that he acknowledged, he says that what you're saying is true, then that man would rule this land under my feet. And had I been by him, I would have washed his feet. But then when he sees that I lose everything, then he says, no, I can't accept this. See what happens. So they had acknowledged, they had the sense to acknowledge, they had the brains to understand. But then, that worldly attachment, they were overwhelmed. That I'm going to lose my might, lose my power, lose everything. So now, let it go. We'll see afterwards. We'll see about it later on. So this Chinese king is asking, just two, three questions he's asking. So one is about the honesty, etc. The second question is asking, and I was surprised when I was telling you, you speak about it, so that he came with Hayat al-Sahaba. I like to see that in myself again. I trust him, but it doesn't mean I don't trust him, but nice to see it. The second thing is, how do they fare with halal and haram? Do they recognize, identify halal and haram? Or they don't identify, and like how it is this day and time, mix up all issues. What is their take on halal and haram? See? So, when we mix up things, when I use these two words, we'll have to appease ourselves and justify our status. Won't that happen? We'll have to appease ourselves and justify our stance. So, now, this woman thing has become an open thing now. Now, mankind has gone beyond that, beyond woman. That was already an indecent behavior. Now they went, I don't know how many million of steps beyond that. They've gone, the indecency level has gone so high, escalated. Just a week ago, something. Now, most of the blacks don't identify with this allergy. So you hear about Uganda, and one person committed the thing. They set a lesson, they killed him and broadcasted him everywhere. So it would seem like the blacks don't identify, they don't like this thing here. But just because of pressure or something, they may not be so vocal about it. But they don't identify. Otherwise, what was the need for them to kill him and then to make a publicity of it? Why they were so public about it? So that means they don't recognize it. It is just that white pressure, white dominance, white is right. Jiski lati uski bhes. What? Jiski lati uski bhes. The English equivalent is might is right. Why we are right of LG? Because we got the might. Why you are wrong? Because you're weak. You can't talk. We got the might, so we are right. Why you are wrong? Because you don't have the might. So you better just listen to us. So then that means there's no freedom of speech. For that thing you can speak about it, it's alright. If anybody speaks about it, then he's in good books. And if he speaks against it, then it's hate speech. See that? If you speak against it, then it's hate speech. And if you speak for it, then you are with us. So I ask you, is there the freedom of speech then? And then you have been robbed about the freedom of your speech. You can't talk. You must just follow. Just be in agitation all the time. I don't like this thing here. And I can't talk about it. I don't like it, but I can't talk about it. Then I've lost the freedom of my speech. So he's asking, alright, what is the take on halal and haram? What is their take? They're very, very particular. 101% very clear about halal and haram. Now, when the ummah has gone off, then I say the first thing they'll do is they'll appease themselves and then they'll justify their stance. So we talk about this indecency as women, etc., interacting and intermingling. They say, no, but our hearts are clean. So that means all the hadith that Rasulullah explained, lower your gaze, don't become casual, don't seclude them. So it becomes meaningless, no meaning to that. Why? My heart is clean. So all the Bishop spoke about, has it got any meaning now left? Has it got any meaning? No meaning to it now. I'm listening to music. So no, my heart is clean. I'm only listening to the words, you know. I'm not listening to those musical instruments, etc. So that means all the words of Rasulullah against music all have become meaningless. So in the process what you have done, in the process you have appeased yourself and you try to justify. And then the hadith says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ قَاسَ الْإِبْلِيسِ. The first person to use this type of a reasoning was Iblis, because Allah is saying something and he is disproving Allah Ta'ala. See, Allah Pak is saying something and he is disproving Allah Ta'ala. He is showing Allah Pak, my proof is better than your proof. My word is greater than your word. You must rethink. See, I am superior. And the superior is supposed to be given that recognition.
and you're turning things around. That's what he's saying. See that? So this Chinese king is writing back after he's made the whole research, right? So that's why I say the rulers in that time were people of understanding. They did the research. They were not just appointed as rulers because of the count of hands. Now it's the count of hands. How many hands? Very understanding. So therefore they ruled also so long. And therefore you see there was so much of good in them. Already they were kafirs, not believers. But there was a very high level of justice and good fair play. So they ruled for such a long period. So this Chinese king is writing back and he says that you see, it's pointless fighting with these people. You make the peace and you carry on with them. They ask you to accept Iman or pay jizya, or then we'll come into battle otherwise. So just make the peace and move on with them, because it is pointless for you to war with such a people. Because when they are, as you say, they are honest in their dealings, all that. That means all around they are honest, in their eyes, in their dealings, everywhere they are honest. Right? And in halal and haram issues they are very, very particular. That means on the one end, with people they are very good. On the other end, they are very true with Allah Ta'ala. So they are honest with people, they are truthful with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So these people have secured divine help. When they have secured divine help, then you're fighting against them, you're fighting a losing battle. When they asked about Umar radiallahu anhu, that Kaifa Amirukum, how's your Amir? So the Sahabi that was representing the Muslim army said, Amiruna la yaqda wa la yuqda. Our Amir, Umar radiallahu anhu, he doesn't deceive, he doesn't cheat at all. He's very honest. He'll never deceit you for a half cent. Right? And la yuqda, but he's very, very alert. You can't deceive him, you can't play the fool with him. He won't deceive you, but that doesn't mean you can take him for a song. No, no, you can't. He is very smart, he is very alert, he's sharp. He knows what's going on, so you can't deceive him. Now the Christian or the Persian king is saying, if that's the case, then you can't fight this man here. He's secured the du'as of people, and he's secured the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, because he doesn't cheat. He doesn't rob. He's not unfair, right? He's very fair, he's very honest. Right? And then he himself is alert of what's going on, he knows what's going on. So such a person has secured the help of Allah Ta'ala, and he himself is sharp and smart, so you can't mow this person down. So you have to either make the peace with him, otherwise you're fighting against a mountain. Even if a mountain has to come against him, they smash the mountain down. You see, the Jewish rabbis, they have made a research themselves. They themselves are acknowledging that we know your Quran and Hadith better than you know it. They are saying it. We know it, and we know it better than you know it. And we come to the conclusion that this is the word of Allah Ta'ala, unchanged, unaltered word of Allah Ta'ala. We come to that. This is then our consensus, that this is the unchanged, unaltered word of Allah Ta'ala, right? And we know we fight you against Allah Ta'ala, definitely we'll lose. Because we know that you are unaltered, that means you are divine, that means you've got divine security with you. Fighting with you is fighting against divine, against Allah Ta'ala. So we can't win. But now what we thought is how we can delay the help of Allah Ta'ala from you. How we can push it away? How we can push away the help of Allah Ta'ala? So the only way we thought of pushing away the help of Allah Ta'ala is mixing up halal haram. Just give you a glossy front to make it look halal. So it appears to be halal, It doesn't have to be halal, but give it a glossy front. Give it a beautiful front, that halal, that haram also seems to be halal. See, so in different ways, education, arts, culture, recreation, and all these type of names, they will make that haram look halal. Right. And then you will be suckers. One American Mastura Jamaat, when we were studying in India, so they came to Aligarh University, the Mastura Jamaat. So it was a Mastura program, so they got that American to talk, you know, pure American. And so everybody came to here now, talking about the early 70s, and now all these women now, Aligarh is a university, so-called modern and enlightened women now, they came in to listen. So now, more than her speech is the twang, American twang. So she is brilliant. Why? Because she's speaking English. She's brilliant because she's got the twang. And you can't speak the language, nor do you have the twang. So as great as an orator you are, when you know where. So you must have the language and have the twang, then you are brilliant. So all the educated women came in, doctors and whoever. And they thought, now we're coming to an American woman, so we are so modern, she must be so modern, so we must also dress up, you know. So to create an impression that we also living in India, but we're not backwards, you know. We also call, if you are modern, we're also modern. So put all the lipstick and the powder and the cream and the dress and whatever. They put all that. This woman, she is trained by Colonel Amiruddin Sahab. Right. Colonel Amiruddin Sahab is an army colonel, right? So he speaks like that. He speaks in an authoritative manner, doesn't fear anybody. And imagine at least about 10,000 Americans had accepted Islam at his hands. I didn't say it straight. And I can expect that from him, because if you trace his roots, he's a Sayyid, right? Although he moved up to America, but you would trace his roots, he's a Sayyid. So that Hamiyat Imani will be in him. At some point, that Josh of Iman will be in him. So now these women are all trained under him. So, you know, a speaker, he starts off slow, then he peaks, and then he shoots. So she starts off slow, you know, our success and all that, how they start in the Jamaat, right? And then she peaked. And when she peaked, she says, you know, this is the life that we had led. And we saw the filth in it, we were nauseated. And we spewed it out. And what we spewed out, you are licking up. But now that American can do it. See, that they can talk about it. They can be frank. They can say it, right? So she said it. That we lived this life. We saw it. We saw it back and front, up and down. Went through it, through and through. Went it. See the whole thing, right? And we saw the failure. We were nauseated. We felt it was absolute filth. Right? But she's saying it, right? We're not saying it. She's saying it. I'm just relating what she said, right? When you saw the filth, you got nauseated, we just spewed it out. And what we spewed out as filth, you are licking up. So, it's just got a glossy look. And the gloss wears out at the end. You know, when you're departing from this world here, at that time I think all that gloss, everything wears out. Sometimes in your old age you see it, sometimes when you're departing, then you see the gloss all wearing out. But then it's too late. And then you say, Allah Ta'ala, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ وَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah, give me a few more moments, I'll just put things right, and I'll come right. So, I just explained that the death is the most uncertain. The time of it is most uncertain. The event is most certain. But the time is absolutely uncertain. And then that is a blessing that Allah has made it like that. For the pious and the impious, It's a blessing that Allah Pak has concealed the knowledge. Because the impious, if he knew, it's not 30 years for me to live, said, let me enjoy myself. Last year, I'll sort myself off last year. So he'll waste out 29 years. 29 years he'll waste. And coming the last year, now he'll prepare himself. But now he knows it's such an uncertain event. So, yaro, aajkal, today, tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow morning, this evening, this afternoon, I don't know it. So he is in a state of readiness at all times. And for the pious also, Allah Pak has blocked that information, because if that information was released, right, and I tell you, alright, you have just 20 years to live, or 10 years, or 5 years, I ask you, will there be any enjoyment in your life? You don't know how it's 10 years, 5 years. Any enjoyment? Now the joy of life is gone, is killed. So Allah has blocked it off from the pious and the impious, and it works better for all. For the pious and impious, that information is blocked and sealed off. So we spoke about that verse in the beginning. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. So, to be straight. Straight in all departments of life. I showed you beliefs, right? And beliefs need to be straight. So, there's no discrepancy in the belief. Belief is absolutely right. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِ. We aren't like the rest, that they segregate, right? What's the other word? Huh? Discriminate, yeah. We don't discriminate. نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْدِ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْدِ. We don't discriminate. We believe in all. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Without any discrimination, we believe in all. Whether it is Musa alayhi salam, whether it is Isa alayhi salam, whether it is whichever Nabi, but we believe in all. And we believe them to be the Rasuls of Allah Ta'ala. That means we believe in them to be absolute sinless creation. Like the Malaika, they are higher than the Malaika. So the Malaika are sinless, so they are also sinless. That's our belief about the Anbiya alayhi salam. That we don't discriminate any one of them. Anyone, the first one, the last one. The highest one, or he may not be the highest, but we don't discriminate. We don't consider them to be sinful for a second. For a second also they're in comparison. Yes, it's possible that they, in their discretion, they may have made a mistake. Like, you're supposed to read 4 rakat namaz, and you read 3 rakat, so it's a discretion. But it's not a wrong on account of lust and temptation. It's not lust and temptation. It is a pure mistake, and a mistake of a discretion. Right. For a normal person, you're getting a reward for that also. Al-mujtahidu idha ijtahada fa'asaba falahu ajrun. For a normal person, you make a mistake like that, you're getting a reward, because you tried to employ your reasoning, but you were incorrect in using your reasoning, still you are rewarded. So that Nabi is sinless from the beginning right till the end. Whoever it was, but we believe them to be sinless. And we believe in all of them. We don't discriminate. So whether it's the Anbiya alayhi salam, whether it's the day of Qiyamah, and we consider it to be livelier than this life, that life, we count it to be livelier than this life. This life seems to be so thrilling. Right? And it's thrilling because we didn't glimpse into the hereafter. And wallah, I tell you, if you glimpse into the hereafter, then this life will seem like absolutely waste. It's like a child's play. Like a child's play. Not even a child's play. You don't get excited with a plastic scooter. Because it's a Junaid, so this is a toy for you. Do you find anything? So it becomes so lifeless. But you only see it. Some people see it earlier, some people see it later. You know, there were some communal problems, and people were asked to guard at different points. So one person asked, you guard this point here. In the interest of the people, so you guard this point here. So you're looking at the interest of the Muslims, the people around. He's guarding the point. and whilst guarding that point, he was shot. He fell unconscious, and then he laughed uncontrollably, and then he cried uncontrollably, and then he got up after some 1 hour or 2 hours. He got up. So, what is this tamasha? What is this drama? You laughed an uncontrollable laughter, and then uncontrollable tears and crying, shrieking. What happened to you? He said, Adibi, don't worry about it. You'll have to tell us. He says, when I fell unconscious, the rules of Jannah were before me. Right. I was the right course, looking after the interests of people. I was the right course. Man kutila duna mali, I was shaheed. So I was looking after my brothers. I was shot. The hoors were there. And they were so close, you know. But I reached out, and she just pulled back. Hey, but the looks, the complexion, the eyes, still in my eyes. The complexion was there, the beauty was there, the figure was there, the lips were there, everything was there. The clothing, you know, beyond human comprehension. And she's coming for me. And then, just then, it was like, you know, it was like, you know, you see some places, I don't know if you see it here still, but in India you see, if a train is moving across, then they put a boom gate. Right? So now I can see her, she's on the other side of the boom gate, and she's saying, no, bhai, nikah is only after Zuhar. You can't do this now. But you know, I'm thinking now, I'm shot here at 7 o'clock, Zuhar is 1 o'clock, 5 hours, how can I resist this thing here? She's so close to me, how can I resist? I must put all my resistance, I can't. So first I laughed, you know, I saw that first sight. But then when she pulled away, she said, Zuhar, then I shrieked and I cried. How must I pull this 5 hours? You see, the Jannat, one glimpse into Jannat, and this life is meaningless. You just want to run through. You want to go across. You forget everything. Just one glimpse into the hereafter, and everything is forgotten. Allah give us that reality in His grace, in His karam and fazl. And then, still guarding the post, as he's guarding the post, as the Zuhr Azan went, straight away he's shot. Obviously the nikah was done after that. See, one glimpse into the hereafter, and this whole world means nothing. It's just, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَالْعِبُ. It is just a little bit of play and amusement, nothing beyond. But because we're not contemplating, we're not thinking of the qabr, or thinking of the hereafter, or thinking of the beauty Allah has got it for us, we think the beauty is here. So our minds are bogged down. We can't move. It is bogged down. It's bogged down so badly. We can't just move. So first we get the beliefs right. And what they teach in the maktabs, right? So in this imaniyat, what they teach, it is supposed to be preserved right till you die. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawmil akhir. So all these are your articles of faith. So don't just read it like that. Read what understanding. Because they are articles of faith. Take it deep into the heart. But as your child, you just took it a little bit lightly. You didn't know the gravity. But as you're growing in age, understand what it's talking about. You're refreshing your belief in the hereafter. That you believe in that. You relate to that. So the beliefs are right. So that's one department of deen. Then number two, your ilm is right. You need to have the right ilm. Knowledge is supposed to be right. So the belief is right. Right? The knowledge is right. If the knowledge is not right, can the deed be right? The deed can be right if the knowledge is right. So acquire the right knowledge. Everybody doesn't have to become an alim. But that amount of knowledge that is required for you to run your life correctly. If you are a farmer, then farming. If you are selling potatoes, then how does it relate to you? If you are a pharmacist, then how it relates to you? So that amount of knowledge that is required for you to do your deeds right, that amount of knowledge is for us. You're going for Hajj, so what are the farais, what are the duties of Hajj? What are the duties, what are you required to do? So whatever is required of you, what amount of knowledge is required for you to do your worldly activities right, that amount. Now zakat became compulsory, you don't know what is the threshold and how is zakat to be taken out and who is the recipient of zakat, you don't know. You came here and you earned that wealth, now also earn how was it spent. You only learned one side, how to earn the wealth, but how to discharge the obligation of wealth, you didn't learn it. Is that right? So the duties that are connected, so get the knowledge right. Number three is get the amal right in your deeds, right? Then the fourth is then get your dealings right. Your dealings. Like I said, you don't need to know the whole Kitab al-Buyu. That level of knowledge where you know your obligations, that's enough. So if you are a barber, then you don't need to know about tailoring. And you are a tailor, then you don't need to know about engineering. What's your business? You're going to learn that. That's your obligation. Number four, then you're socializing. You're socializing. Mu'ashara. Right. In Urdu they say it easily. Rehan sehen. Socializing. Chal dhal. Say it very easily. The English are like big words, right? So what's permissible there, what's not permissible there? Which event you should be going, which event you're not supposed to be going? Where are you supposed to be participating, where you aren't supposed to be participating? Where are you supposed to be going, not supposed to be going? Did you learn all these things? Or we just learn, it's an invitation and I must go to the dawat because dawat, accepting the dawat is wajib. That's all you learned. But now, is it the right place to go? It is. All the precautionary measures, have they been taken, or you just went in wild? So the different departments, so you have to be straight. Wastaqim kama umirta wa taba ma'aka. You need to be straight, and those that are with you, all need to be straight.